Community Connections. CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local. Your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections. CKMS.
Happy Monday, Waterloo Region. It is Monday, the 12th of June, and it's raining outside, and we've got fog in the studio. It's the Fog Blues and Brass Band doing a live, on-air, in-studio performance. Go ahead, guys.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
All right. All right, that's the blues coming at you. It's a little tune called Too Deep. Your baby's a Cadillac lover. For on the floor, she's a bass drum freak. She likes chicken southern fried from a bucket. She sips bourbon in the Mississippi. You need to know what kind of girl she is before you pop that question and you've dug too deep. Her mama raised her up to look for a dollar. She gave her pointers how to make men weep. And when she cries, you give her what she wants. And when it's night, she robs your wallet where you sleep. You need to know what kind of girl she is before you pop that question and you've dug too deep. Ooh, brother, don't hit no woman like that. Ooh, brother, don't hit no woman like that. So heed my word, I'll help you out in a pinch. She's a rag-to-riches girl with a high-class gift. No, don't pop the question. Ooh, don't pop the question. No, don't pop the question. You need to know what kind of girl she is before you pop that question and you've dug too deep, too deep. Not too deep.
Too deep.
Too deep. Too deep. You need to know what kind of girl she is before you pop that question and you've dug too deep.
Live blues on CKMS Community Connections. It's the Fog Blues and Brass Band in the studio with us. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the studio.
What a Thanks. Wonderful place to be on a rainy day.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, oh, you're very welcome. You want to start off by introducing yourselves and the band, both present and absent?
Sure. Hi, Dan. My name is Hills. And Tim, my name is Hills. And Bill, my name is Hills. And that's my introduction today.
Yeah, Hills Walter, Tim Pulser, Dan Jankar, uh-huh. And the band members that aren't here because we're seven-piece and we'd be quite tight in here if we had everybody here. Bobby Becker, Joe Blansky, Dominic Danino, and Al Hosak.
Wow. And you've got a wide variety of instrumentation amongst those people as well. Today we've just got acoustic guitar, harmonica, and a set of vocals.
Sure.
But what else have you got in the band?
We've got saxophones, so Dan, you might as well lay out that.
Tenor and alto saxophone for the live show, bass, keyboards, and drums.
And every now and then, Dan pulls out the flute or a baritone, right, depending on the show.
Right. Not much in the way of horns, then.
Sorry?
Not much in the way of horns. Trumpets, trombones.
Yeah,
saxophones.
I mean, we kind of like the...
We have no brass in the fog.
We have no brass in the brass band. It's actually...
No true brass.
Saxophone is made out of brass, but it's considered a woodwind, so it doesn't qualify for brass.
Now, our first CD did have brass, but we had Don Bright up write some charts, and we brought in a bunch of horn players as well. So we had... who did we have? We had Pat LaBarbera, my uncle, and then we had on trombone...
William Carn.
Uh-huh. And
Larry Bodner.
Larry Bodner, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I played Barry sax and did overdubs on tenor. And
at that time, we had Patrick Furlong playing drums at that time.
Yeah, Patrick Furlong was in the band at the time.
Yeah.
So then without any actual brass instruments, how did you come to be called the Fog Blues and Brass Band?
A marketing genius. Yeah, we had... we had a friend of ours who did some promo stuff at the very beginning and actually created our first logo for the band, and that was Mr. Allen, C.J. Allen. And as time went on, we started getting new artworks and new little head... what do you call them? Logos.
Logos made, yeah.
Basically, mm-hmm. And we've been developing ever since, but we can't lose the brass band name yet, so
no.
Eventually maybe we'll just be Fog.
Well, originally the band was a five-piece.
Mm-hmm.
This was before I was in the band. And so they called themselves Fog, and that was an acronym for something. What was that?
Five Old Guys.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
But when Dan joined the band, you know, it was six. We couldn't call the band SOG. It just wouldn't work, you know.
I suggested leave the F and just call it Fat Old Guys.
Ah.
A couple of guys weren't.
You know, they just didn't make. Yeah, they didn't make the grade.
They were taking costs on it, though.
Yeah,
they didn't make the grade.
I was wondering about that because anytime that I've seen the name in print, it's always capital F, capital O, capital G. So I figured, okay, there's got to be something behind that.
Yeah, there was at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Thanks to my wife Peggy, she said, "You guys are just five old guys. Why don't you just call yourself Fog?" So that's where it came from.
So five guys on the lineup is pretty impressive for a blues band. Seven guys is overwhelming. How does that affect your ability to get gigs?
Well, let's face it. A lot of people can't afford the full seven, the full Monty, I guess we could call it. But you just have to sort of stand your ground and say, look, you've got to feed seven people here. And that's the way it works. So we can hold out. That's why we're all working as well.
Okay. So not a full-time gig for any of you.
Well, it is and it isn't. It's funny. We live it during the day even. You know, sometimes we have to send transfer files through the day to Eric Alper or we have to deal with stuff with our engineers. Like right at the moment, we've been working with Roby Banerjee. We were working with John Beadle Bailey before that. So we just have to function our work around our work as well, you know, without interfering with our work time, of course, right?
Yeah, a lot of text messages and phone calls throughout the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just organizing the administration of getting gigs and organizing the band.
It works well because I don't generally start until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon doing what I do, which is teaching music. So I kind of take the shift up until 3 o'clock of the business end, and
Dan takes the brunt. Really, he really does.
And then Hills kind of takes over from there because he's finished his gig by 3 o'clock, 3:30 generally.
And, yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, hey man, you know, this and this has to happen, and I have to go to work now. So
it's like having a baby.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Hand the kid over.
Tried to pitch in, but Dan's so critical. You know.
Now, you mentioned some big names there. Eric Alper, I know, he's your publicist.
Yes.
That's how I got a hold of you in the first place.
Right.
And then you mentioned Roby.
Roby Banerjee.
Yeah. So he's a big name.
He's a big name, yeah. He's worked with the Rolling Stones and Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Etta James, Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, yeah. He's
big
with
Sugar.
Everybody. Yeah. And that's really...
Now us.
Yeah, now us, yeah. It's kind of a gift, actually, to have Roby back from L.A. because Roby came back...
after his father had passed, and that gave him the opportunity to deal with a house, and he's got the house now, and he's, for certain individuals, we've done some tracking right there at his place and okay. our own, actually, at Dan's house. So we got that called Jankar Studios now.
Dan's Basement Studio.
Oh. Yeah.
Worked well.
Yeah. How was that? You've got two albums out now.
Yeah, two albums and one single release and a Christmas song. Yeah. So
I got the Christmas Too Late for Christmas.
Oh, so that's too bad.
I have to wait a few more months before that goes on the air again.
We were late releasing it, let's face it. But, so we were lucky to get anything out of that the last year. But this year, it'll kind of be in everybody's banks.
It will be. Yeah.
We did get a royal treatment from Craig Norris there on that song. So that was fantastic.
Cool.
So that was a great booster for us because we had been lulling for a fair period of time due to COVID.
Yes.
But during that time, during the COVID, we were doing a lot of file transferring in order to keep up and keep, on track with everything. And we literally wrote the newer CD basically through that COVID period.
Okay. Tell me about that. What's on the new CD?
So the title track's 12 Bar Prescription. That's a song we co-wrote with Grant Haywood.
Uh-huh. I know Grant.
Yeah. And that song there, he kind of showed it to us, and we took it to the extreme, I think, because it was an acoustic version when it came to us, right. And we put our own stamp on it. And
it actually didn't even have the drive. It was Tim who really converted the song, to be honest with you, because he heard something that the rest of us weren't looking for, and that's the beauty of this band, is each and every member steps up and brings something to the table. One day we'll be thinking one way, and another band member can sway that just by simply putting input in.
Right.
So we share everything. Whatever we write, whatever we do, we share all accolades, equally.
Oh, it was a full-bore collaboration, this last one, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And then during the COVID period, you had to do that remotely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just literally, we got to the point where Hills was the only one really knowing how to use the recording software. And so he would send like an MP3 of a demo out or something, and I'm like, oh man, I want to do something to this, right?
Right.
And he's like, well, you got a Mac computer? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you got GarageBand then? I do. And sure enough, there it was, and opened it up, and he's like, explained to me over the phone how to do everything.
Put it together.
And then next thing you know, we're sending stuff back and forth, and Al started doing it. We're like, we need bass, and so it was good. And in the midst of that, we kind of, Pat Furlong exited the band and Dominic DiNino came in, and he was already familiar with
Logic Savvy. He was pretty savvy
that way. So things moved along quicker once that kind of hit. And then the guys like Tim over there, who has a Commodore 64 at home.
Well, that's right.
that's all you'll
ever need.
He put his in with that little recorder. What's that recorder you have?
Oh, the H2.
Yeah, the H2. Yeah,
that's too complicated for me. I usually use the cassette still.
He sent six songs over.
Eight-track.
We got six songs sitting there of Tim's, and I think we only used one of them. But he's not really going to release the other ones yet.
Mm-hmm. Meter them out.
He's got to,
So then Dan hung a bunch of plastic in his basement, and we started practicing.
Yeah, once we were allowed to be over five people.
Yeah, we had to kind of get a business license.
I got a business license and hung all the placards, masking.
Oh,
and
man.
Had hand sanitizer.
Hand sand everywhere. Yeah.
Contact tracing forms and the whole nine yards. So
we each had a booth. We set ourselves up kind of like we are right today. We just had everything hooked up through our mixer and our headsets and our little contained booths and a little air purifier in each unit. And
that's how
we rehearse.
That's your own studio.
Yeah, that's how we did it.
We're still rehearsing there now. It's interesting because there's only three guys in one room, three guys in another, and Tim's all by himself in another. So I literally cut a hole through the wall, put plexiglass in so Tim could see through to the drummer. And
John Bailey said, you guys have made yourselves studio musicians by doing this, which is kind of neat, It's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Was Grant involved in that? Grant Haywood?
No,
not in that process.
Yeah. So, 12 Bar was a song that we kind of solidified before. We took that song down to Memphis and played the snot out of it down there. It became our kind of opening song all the time. So every show that we do, we open with that song.
Yeah.
And so that was why it was kind of fitting that we call this album 12 Bar Prescription. But we couldn't record it because COVID hit, right? Right in 2020. We got back from Memphis and 6 weeks later.
Well, literally, when we came back on the plane, we had to fill out the little paperwork for COVID because that's when it really hit, right on our way back.
They flew back. We drove, like. Yeah, but yeah, I still haven't been on a plane once in my life yet. So.
That was 12-hour prescription. I think you should play that.
Yeah, sure. That'd be wonderful.
Okay, this is 12-hour prescription from the new album called 12-hour prescription by the Fog Blues and Brass Band.
Now I gotta tell y'all. Prescription.
Bar Prescription by the Fog Blues and Brass Band, written by Grant Haywood, but he doesn't actually perform on this track. But he was involved in the writing, and you said it was not quite this way when Grant wrote it.
No, like when he brought it to us, it was a complete. Was it a 12 bar? Was it?
It was a lot looser.
Right. Yeah. It was a lot looser.
Yeah.
So I think we might have changed a word or two here and there. But basically, it was like a rewrite of what he had given us.
Okay.
Musically, it was a rewrite. Yeah. Complete overhaul kind of thing. But, yeah, most of the lyrics were.
That seems to happen a lot. You know,
like I can't say we left the melody fully, though. Like we,
No.
We were there with the melody. Like Grant's a writer. He's a good writer.
He's a great writer.
Mm-hmm. I know him mostly as a drummer, so.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of good with all kinds of instruments, guitar, vocals. I just did some work on Grant's new album or new song coming up. I did some harp on one of his songs. I don't think I should mention the name yet.
He also just released something a new tune on YouTube. Anyways, I saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Still going.
Okay. Yeah.
One of these days, we're going to have to get Grant in the studio. He's been on Musicians FAQ, one of other shows.
Right.
I've done that too, actually.
That's Steve Todd.
Yeah. I was with
Steve McKee.
McKee. Yeah.
Okay.
That was cool. We did two actually in a row. It was quite a. He went through my whole history. It was kind of fun.
Yeah. That was a good show. Unfortunately, Stuart went off to do other things. And he's producing lots of music.
He sure is, and he's writing too.
Yeah, and we aren't getting it into the studio here. So, Stuart, if you're listening, send me your new stuff.
Yeah.
That actually goes for anybody. Anybody who's out there in the local Waterloo Region community, send us your music at office@radiowaterloo.ca. We'll get it into our library and on the radio.
This was the station that got Fog noticed first. So when we first came out with our CDs, this is the actual station that put us on the radio first. With
cool.
Coral Andrews, yeah.
Yeah, Coral's good too. Coral's still on our radio station as well as CKWR.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, she is, yeah. And has a long history going back.
Yeah. If you haven't read Backdoor, you got to get her book.
She has a book.
It's really quite cool. It's about the little pub there called The Backdoor, and it's got quite a history to it.
You'll feel out of touch.
Oh. Yeah. Well, we'll try and keep your ear to the ground more. We'll have to talk more.
Exactly. We went to Memphis.
We did.
What were you doing in Memphis?
We went down representing the Grand River Blues Society to play in Memphis in the Challenge.
International Blues Challenge.
Okay.
Or IBC, as it's fondly referred to.
And it was.
It was.
It was a challenge.
A challenge.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it was a challenge.
This is a competition between different blues bands.
Well, according to the listing, I guess they knocked it down to 12,000 bands, and then they put those bands into competition, and then representatives from each blues community get to go down to the International Blues Festival down there. Mm-hmm. So they knock it down to what was
just shy of 300 acts. So
when we went down.
Beale Street is buzzing. Every venue on Beale is loaded with...
It's going.
With, what do we have, like 6, 7... It was probably 8 acts in our venue.
Yeah,
We spent most of the time at Rum Boogie Cafe just because we're a big band, and that was the
one of the stages.
We were an eight-piece at that point. We had three horns at that point.
Yeah, we had Don Featherstone with us.
Yeah, Don Featherstone was on Barry Sax for us at the time. And, it was just... it was kind of surreal. We played Alfred's, too.
Yep. Alfred's was wonderful.
Kooky Canuck, too, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
A little restaurant.
Matinee show there.
Yeah, matinee show there. But, it was... So you had probably 8 to 10 acts per venue.
Yeah.
And the idea was you got to win your venue. So over a course of 2 performances, you were judged collectively, and that kind of decided whether you're moving on.
Right.
And
two sets of music or just 2 songs?
No, there were 20 minute sets, okay. 20-25 minute sets. They changed every time. Like your initial one was about 30 minutes. The next one was 25. And if you made it to the finals, you were cut down to 20 minutes.
But it was a test.
But it was a test.
If you were short or long, you got dinged.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there was a gentleman there with a card that said 1 minute left, and he'd wave it in your face, and we only got that card once, but we planned on a contingency for that.
He had a hook in the other hand.
Yeah. Pretty much. But we planned for that. We had a contingency plan for that, and we just, as soon as everybody saw the card, we all looked at each other and we knew what to do.
Yeah.
We got out of the song, ended it, and we were right on time, so we were fortunate to make it through to the semifinals, which is kind of a big deal for a little Canadian band.
We met some special people, too.
Vinny
Marini, we sat on the couch there and did an interview with him down there, so shout out to Vinny there.
Wow. Yeah.
And yeah, we made it to those, you know, almost the big stage, almost. But there was one night we were playing on stage. This was kind of fantastic. In the Rumboogie, there's an upper floor. So you can look up and there's people looking down at you from the balcony. And then you have the bottom floor. And we were so packed that there were people waiting at the door. And at one point I looked out the window and you could see a crowd going straight across Beale Street looking into the club. Oh. And it was really kind of fun. It was surreal, right? Yeah. That was sort of like it was a big high for me anyways. I don't know if the guys noticed. Did you guys notice that?
I was too busy looking at the guy with the card, giving me the 1 minute warning.
I was looking at the floor. So.
Yeah.
That's an excellent showing out of, what, 12,000 bands initially competing coming out in the semis. That's
sure
really
is.
Nice.
Yeah. No, we were proud of ourselves. That felt really good.
It was a lot of fun.
We didn't go down expecting to win. We went down expecting to make contacts and stuff. So the fact that we even got to the second round was
cool.
Totally awesome. You know, that was bonus to us for sure.
Yeah. Did you make those contacts? Did you get?
Oh yeah, we made quite a few contacts.
The problem was is COVID. Like we came out. We were so hot off the tail end of the Memphis thing. I think we did one more gig up in Elk Lake after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In February that year.
2,600 kilometers apart. Is that what it
was?
Yeah.
And then. Yep, yeah. COVID shut us down.
We were ready to go.
We were ready to go.
All that heat just went. It got real cool.
We were supposed to play a festival in Indiana, and then we found out how much it would cost. And they really didn't offer enough money to bring us down there. And I think if we were at the right point, we could have traveled around, but COVID just knocked it out. That was it. Boom, yeah. Done.
So all your gigs dried up?
Oh, yeah. It was a real bummer. Yeah.
Just
know?
Like everybody else, though. Everybody else's gigs dried up, and we were all just sitting there kind of twiddling our thumbs.
So the solo performers managed to get online performances in.
Yeah, know?
Sure.
Imagine being a full-timer. You know, yeah. I mean... Yeah. It would have been debilitating for sure.
It would have really been debilitating. Yeah. We did get saved with a few shows, even by the Kitchener's Blues Festival and the Crossroads Festival. And we did out on the coast.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we did 2020 for Kitchener Blues Festival's smaller version, COVID version. Okay.
Crossroads, I think.
So our first, Crossroads. So it was at Bobby O'Brien's, and that first year was surreal because they had like plexiglass all over around our microphones.
That was the one before Crossroads. That was the blues one, Blues Festival. Yeah.
No, that was the actual Crossroads 2020. So that was the first time they were able to do anything outside,
but they were fogging the stage in between acts and
sanitizer going and everything else.
And we weren't allowed to move. It felt like Elvis Presley.
Yeah, you know? We couldn't.
We could only move from the hips down.
Nobody was allowed to dance or anything like that.
Well, because of all the extra air pumping through.
Have to sing right at that plate.
It worked good for me.
There was a lot of chair dancing going on out in the audience. But
They were even stopped.
Even when they stood up. They ran a tight ship that year of making sure they were following the rules for sure. Yeah. And then 2021, they had us back again at the Krabby Joe's stage that year for Crossroads, I guess the second COVID Crossroads.
Yeah.
And all this time you were developing stuff for the DEP.
For the new CD.
Yeah. I think that 2020, we actually, a couple versions of the songs, the new songs were completely different.
Yeah.
I know Who's Gonna Suffer was a complete different song back
then.
Oh,
yeah.
So that song has gone through its changes as well. So.
Wow. Metamorphosis.
Yeah.
Just try to take the venom out of it.
Yeah.
You guys want to try something else?
Sure. You want to hear something acoustically again?
Sure, let's do an acoustic one.
Let's do Beaterland.
Beaterland.
Right here in the studio, Fog, Blues, and Brass Band live on the air.
Beaterland, rolling back to Beaterland. I'll feel that fire in your soul. Let it roar, tell the man.
go, yeah. Peterland will be playing another diamond show. He'll be back someday. People, you got to listen what I say. He'll be back on that boat, going back on that boat again. He'll be back on that boat, going back on that boat again. Oh, Lord, take me down. Peterland makes me hold it all in. Keeps us rolling on down across the land. Peterland takes us by the hand. He's a short little fellow, people say he's got your back. He'll be back someday. People, you got to listen what I say. He'll be back on that boat, going back on that boat again. He'll be back on that boat, going back on that boat again. Take me down, Peterland. Peterland, rolling back to Peterland. I'll feel that fire in your soul. Let it roll, tell the man. Ooh, it's time to go. Peterland, we play another show. Now he'll be back someday. People, you got to listen what I say. He'll be back on that boat, going back on that boat again. He'll be back on that boat, going back on that boat again. Oh, Lord, be delayed.
Dan Hills and Jim from the Blues Fog and Brass Band. Sorry, the Fog Blues and Brass Band. The Fog Blues and Acoustic Band.
Yeah.
In the studio today.
Good afternoon.
This is a first. Yeah. I don't think we've ever attempted to do anything acoustically.
Not acoustically. We did one live show with CKWR with the whole band. That was really
cool. Yeah, that was a whole band.
That was really cool.
They must have a bigger studio than this.
No, it was tight. It was incredibly crazy.
They used every inch of that studio. They were taking people's offices away from them for the day and the whole
thing. Hawkeye did the video, and he did an amazing job. He put these cameras in all these strategic places. They were remote. It was pretty cool.
Pretty cool, yeah. So why blues? Why not do rock and roll? Why not do metal?
I think we each have our own story for that.
I think, obviously, I mean, I'm wearing a Motorhead shirt. I come from metal. Yeah. And I'm a saxophone player, which is kind of weird. But I do play guitar, too, but that's just my frustrations.
Hills has got a folky T-shirt on, Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Actually, my transition to blues came from just meeting Rick Danko. So I had a night in a room with Rick Danko. And he played all of these songs that I had no clue of. And I came home and I went to the CD shop, and boy, those CDs are expensive, but they're worth it. They're really worth it.
Yeah. Blues has been around an awful long. I think I got hooked by the blues with the Powder Blues Band around 1979 or so.
Yeah,
that's what got me hooked into the blues.
Yeah. We're okay. fringe blues, I guess.
You've been playing blues forever, right?
Oh, yeah. Been trying to play blues for
Tim's old enough, he's pretty much invented blues. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Me and Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
He went one way, I went the other.
Yeah.
He came to Canada.
So I've heard it said that, you know, you've only got the 12 bars in the 12-bar blues. Where's the variety in that?
Wow. I mean, that's a lot of translation ideology. You know, I worked with Brent Derner years ago, and that was one of the things he said to me. Hills, the blues, there's only 5 chords. Like, what are you doing with the blues? And I can tell you right now, working with these gentlemen, we stretch every facet of 5 chords, and we definitely throw in, I don't know, some jazz rudiments, I would say. But we try to make sure that the backbone is still sticking around the basic blues, right?
Yeah, it's definitely bluesy. I mean, in every song on the album, every song you've performed here today, you can get that feeling of the blues. You know, there's something fundamental about it.
When we were in Memphis, I people would say, what kind of blues are you playing? And I'd say, we're playing Canadian blues. And I was proud of it. You know,
absolutely.
Canadian blues, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, we have a rich music scene that brought blues here to this country. Not just Mel Brown coming up, but, I mean, everything that came from the band, you know, brought in that rich blues culture, and they worked with Sonny Boy Williamson years ago. They were going to record with him, but I think he died before they actually got a chance to do that. But there's a story in one of the documentaries in which they're in a room negotiating how to do their contract with Sonny Boy, and he's literally spitting into a spittoon. And they realized later he was literally spitting blood into the spittoon.
Oh.
You know? And so he was pretty close, I think, at that time.
Good story, also.
Yeah. cheer us up there, bud.
I like to make everybody happy.
It is the blues, after all.
It is the blues, right?
There's a song in there, Spittoon, Bloody Spittoon Blues.
Yeah.
Have you, do you individually range out further? Do you play the metal stuff when you're on your own, Dan?
No, just in my
in the basement.
When I want to run to the hills like the Flash, and or run to the Grand Canyon and scream like the Flash.
Okay,
that's me playing guitar in my basement.
Dan's got better guitars than I've got.
No, yeah, whatever. He's got a vault that he doesn't let anybody see yet. I'm pretty sure it's pretty epic. I keep bugging him. Let me see that vault, and he's no.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Guitars have to be played to.
Well, I know that's true. You have to spend some time on all of them.
Yeah.
Each one of us has opportunity to go and play. I mean, Dan is getting sought after for his talents. Tim has been, well, he plays with everyone, you know, in Guelph, I would say.
Everybody
that'll have him. I've shut the door myself on a fair bit of stuff, but I'm doing some LA stuff and some stuff here, but mainly focusing on Fog. That's what that's where my heart lies right now.
If it wasn't Fog, you said you got converted to the blues. What would you be doing instead?
Well, you know, years ago when the Jam Blasters were together, it was just a duo, so I might go back to doing something like that again, you know, and that would be another option. But I'd like to go into all kinds of facets. Or, I mean, I've done a dance album during COVID. It was because I was getting into MIDI and getting into the digital stuff. So I made an album called Dance House, which no one really listens to, but it's fun.
Okay.
You know, it was my fun, and it taught me a lot about recording. So.
Well, this has a pretty broad scope of what he likes.
I go across the board, jazz, classical, funk, blues, rock. Country in Southern Alabama sound. I think
honestly, we all have everybody in this band is pretty diverse when it comes to interests, musical interests, right? I think that's what makes the whole process pretty cool. Is like, say Tim writes a song, he comes in, he's got a specific idea, and then somebody's like, "Wait a minute, what
Wait
if we
minute,
did
that
this?"
That sucks.
Yeah,
you know.
But it's kind of, to me, it's this band is like whoever brings a song in, lays it on the table. It's like surgery's those guys in your neighborhood that he's a car guy or something. He's a backyard mechanic. If you ever need anything for an old car, he's got it. Right. You're going to walk into his shop and he's going to pull open a drawer and go, oh, there. So, for example, one of my songs laid it on the table and Hills came up with like the best line.
Oh,
kicked one of my lines out and put his line in. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's the opening up the drawer and finding that wing nut, that special size wing nut. And, you know, it's the same way. Tim's always like got a heavy opinion on something.
So you can tell. You can tell from the
album.
It's
always for the best.
You can tell from the album. It's you are a really tight band. You know, it's there's nothing out of place at all. So
we're so tight that if we do have a flaw happen, it's kind of like a colossal collision. So that's when you know your fans are on top of you if they notice that.
Everybody contributed. I mean, everybody has their stamp on this last CD for sure.
Oh yeah.
Not so much the first one because I came in peripherally there, but. Okay. Certainly, everybody.
Even Joe spoke up and got some good licks in there too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah, that was cool.
Like, why get up? That whole da-na-na-na-na-na-na, that was his.
Yeah, you
know, he brought that to the table.
We try and keep our thumb on him, but every now and then
he gets unruly sometimes. He's such a loud guy.
He's a crazy guy. That's
so opinionated and screams at you if you don't. We're being facetious. Yeah. The guy's the quietest as a mouse.
Okay.
But you know, Dominic has changed the whole element too. Oh, you know, his timing is pretty bang on, I'll tell you. So he's teaching us to play both sides of the meter, the good side and the bad side.
Torture.
Well, and he's also it's interesting because he doesn't let you away with much.
No,
you know, he keeps you on your toes the whole time, and he's like. You'll look at him sometimes, and he'll just look at you with a smile and say, no, this is where we are. Deal with it.
But the beauty there is we see Al smile probably twice a week now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two times a week.
We're lucky to get
one. Once when we're playing and once when he's leaving.
Yeah.
But when you're plays fretless on Beaterland.
Yeah.
When you're actually playing live, how much variation is there in what you've rehearsed and what you've got recorded? Is it adaptable?
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, Beaterland today acoustically was adapted to do the radio show today because you've got to fill in for the three solos, right?
Yeah. Well, that song sonically is probably like the biggest production, I guess you would say, right? It has the most layers.
Most went into it for sure, trying to get it.
But it's a good song when you can still strip it all away and put a guitar and a voice to it.
I mean, it sounded,
still works.
You know, straight as an arrow, just.
Yeah,
pure and simple coming out in the studio today. So that's not multi-layered at all from the album.
On the recorded version, when we were in the studio, Tim said, hey, Roby, do you got a lap steel? He's like, yep. He pulls it out and he hands it to Tim, and Tim goes, no, you play it. I can't. I'm not playing that thing, right? So Roby did all the lap steel on that song.
That's how we suckered him in. That's how we got him.
Yeah.
Does that happen a lot, to get the engineers and the producers pitching in to make the music?
Well, we got blessed in a way that way because I grew up with both of our engineers. So when Roby years ago was playing in Artok, which was kind of a big thing here in Kitchener, I used to go and watch his shows, and he was a friend of my friend, and we met that way. And for years, we talked about it. One of these days, we'll make a CD. And John Bailey, I literally played in a band with John. He probably wouldn't like anyone to know that, but we were the spandex like rock gods, you know, playing the Highlands and Matador and all the rock places we used to have here in town, you know.
It's a bad mental picture.
It is, it's a bad mental picture. Mind you, we were about 125 pounds soaking wet back then, so...
He had the outfits, that's for sure.
Yeah, we sure did.
Has that declined? I mean, I've heard of Kitchener being, you know, this great musical
hub for rock.
Rock and blues and all kinds of other stuff too. But I don't see much of that around anymore.
Well, COVID's knocked everything down. There's rumor of a new club opening. I know that there's a group looking at the Boathouse right now, and one of the people involved in that is a guitar player that worked in a funk band with me. He's a very intelligent individual, James, and he's I really believe they'll probably bring a good venue back there. I'm
the
Boathouse
so. Needs to come back, yeah.
Yeah, it would be wonderful to see it, you know, come out of the woodwork. And if their plans happen, it's going to be a beautiful deck going out over the water. That's going to be pretty incredible, yeah. You know. So I hope it all happens, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be optimistic instead of pessimistic.
Yeah.
You know.
Lots of
in our lifetime.
Yeah.
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 Well, I think Guelph is kind of buzzing a bit, isn't it?
Guelph's always had a massive underground sort of thing.
Yeah.
Very eclectic.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah.
Used to play Wally's years ago, and yeah. we'd get so many people in there, the doors would shut, you know, and no one could come in. And
but
all
you
of
know,
us were dying to get out.
We're still reeling from COVID. It takes time to gear everything back up, clubs and everything else. And, you know.
I want to get into some of that, some of your future plans, some of the upcoming events, but let's have another piece of music.
Sounds great.
Something off the album?
Sure.
Hey, Lucy.
Can do Hey Lucy.
Let's do Hey Lucy.
Okay. From the new album as well, the 12-bar prescription album, Hey Lucy by the Fog Blues and Brass Band. The Blues Cat.
Jacob the Cat. He's actually got credit on the liner notes for that.
He was expensive.
Yeah. Well, we had to
fancy
pay him a fortune.
Fancy feast, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was expensive.
Pretty litter, the whole deal.
Had to get him some fancy
His rider was heavy.
So very funky. Not at all what I would expect in the way of straight 12-bar blues, and you know, certainly more than five chords in that, I think.
Sure.
Is there? There's really a three-chord song, isn't it?
Only three chords?
I know I do at least four vocal chords.
What's in the bridge there? What do you got?
That's just a, back to the, a four and a one and a
yeah,
five.
Yeah, yeah,
four, one,
yeah,
and a five.
No, that's it. I mean, you can really take a 12-bar and make it sound like
that was supposed to be Wooly Bully, but it didn't make it.
Yeah, yeah, I now you mention it, I can hear that in there. Yeah?
Yeah.
What's coming up? You've got...
Yeah, we
gigs
got some
booked for the summer.
Yeah, we just played Brenda O'Connor's house selling party, I guess you could call it. So they got a private CD release from us. Ooh. We played the new one in its entirety, and then July 1st we were at what do they call him? The Prince of Park Street. Tim Wilcox.
Oh yeah, the Prince of Park Street. Yeah, Tim Wilcox's house for Canada Day.
He generally has epic parties there. Always brings in a couple of bands and has a whole kind of production
and
there.
We got to make up for lost time because he couldn't have the party during COVID.
Yeah, exactly. So
if you can come down there, hopefully we'll get enough people that we shut the whole corner down. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. He's selling tickets, so you can e-transfer him up. After that. July 15th, we got the Lighthouse Blues Festival in Kincardine. Guelph Rib Fest in August 26th. Mm-hmm. North Bay Blues Festival September 2nd, this Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'll get in your cars and come on up to North Bay and hang out with us.
I'll catch a ride with you.
Yeah. And there might be one more after that. The weekend after that, there's a festival somewhere in the GTA that I'm not going to name yet. But it's possible we'll be playing that one too.
Stay tuned to your social media. What is your social media? How do we...
Fog Blues and Brass Band on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Instagram, it's fog_blues_brass_band_ I think. Yeah,
so. All the links are on our website as well. So if you go to the website, you can get all our social media links right there.
Yeah, and there's
too.
A nice orange button you can press that has all our schedule on it for the rest of the summer.
Certainly have it all linked on our show notes page as well.
Yeah, Joyce Domingo keeps us contacted with the world.
Yeah.
Joy Media. That's who you want to call
She's
for that.
She's fantastic.
We love her.
Yeah. Got a few minutes left. I just want you to tell me about the Blues Society. You mentioned that you went to Memphis representing the, was it Waterloo Wellington Blues Society?
No, it was the Grand River Blues Society.
Grand River.
Yeah, we entered their, it wasn't really on our radar. Somebody pointed out to us that we should enter it. So their qualifiers happen, they do their qualifiers, I think, earlier than anybody else, but...
I think it was Brenda O'Connor, wasn't it?
I think so. She said, you wanna enter this? And we're like, we do? She's like, yeah, absolutely. And so we, I don't know, it's, what was it, like 8 to 10 acts there that day?
Yeah,
And we kind of, we prevailed somehow.
Stumbled
our way through it and... pulled the wool over their eyes and they picked us.
That society is set up strictly for this competition? Or
No. Grand River Blues Society is heavily, you know, woven in with the Kitchener Blues Festival. They do...
the whole blues scene.
Blues for
the
youth.
Children's camp. Yeah.
Yeah, the children's camp. So, you know, any kid that signs up for the blues camp through Grand River Blues Society is in for a real treat because they get to be taught basically by, like, Cheryl Lescombe, John Lee... I think Chris Ladd is in there, Mike Rajna.
I think Mr. Featherstone's even in there.
Don Featherstone's the MD of that. And Lauren Helmer is like the brass teacher there. And
I think the beauty is that they back them up too, even after they left camp. You know, like
absolutely.
Matt Weidinger is definitely supported.
Yeah, yeah. Spencer McKenzie went through there. Who else was it?
Colin
Avalon
White.
Bridger.
Avalon, yeah.
Is it someplace that a venue can go to get blues bands to play at their venues? Is it acting like a booking agency?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Straight exposure, no promotion, probably.
The Grand River Blues Society lets the kids play on the IBA. What do they call it now?
I think it's the business stage.
Euro stage or something now, I think they call it. But it's the one behind Crab. Yeah, IBA it used to be called. But they go to the camp for... 4 days, and on the fifth day they get to perform like 10 songs, 12
wow. songs. Yeah, and they mix some pros yeah. right in between them too. So I mean,
well, the pros are there on the side, yep, you know, yeah. just like, you know, Mike Rajna is up there with his drums on a okay. kit, just in case they get into trouble, he'll get on it and set them straight. But
and there's a brunch there too, like yeah. on the Sunday, right?
Well, they do, yeah, they
Sunday breakfast or something.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's really good. Grand River's really fostering the next generation of talent.
Is there another song that you've got queued up that you can play me out with? Because we've got about a minute or so left.
What have we got there? Like, Why Get Up? Is Why Get Up there? You know, we end our shows with Why Get Up, so why don't we end our radio show with Why Get Up?
Let us do that. You want to talk over that?
Sounds good. Why Get Up from the Fog, Blues, and Brass Band.
You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections on Radio Waterloo. CKMS Community Connections is sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Contributing producer is Jeff Steger. On today's Community Connections, we've had in the studio the Fog Blues and Brass Band with Jim, Hills, and Dan. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. It has been a wonderful hour.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
CKMS Community Connections airs every Monday at 11 o'clock and alternate Fridays at 3 p.m. So I'll be back next week. Talk to you then.